Okay, today we're going to continue learning Maseches Peah, and we are up to Perek Dalid, Mishnah Dalid. So today we're going to do Mishnayos, Dalid, and Hey. So says the Mishnah, Peah in Kotzrinos b'magolos, when it comes to Peah, you're not supposed to harvest it with sickles when you're talking about grain. Ve'in Okrinos b'kardumos, and you don't dig it up with a shovel, with a spade, like if you're dealing with something like an onion, where it would be likely that that's how you would take it. Kadesh L'Yaku Ish Esre'ehu, because it's asking for trouble. These people are all vying for the same Peah. So if you're going to give them sharp instruments and tell them, now go for it, and then they're fighting each other for it, and then we're very afraid that Yaku Ish Esre'ehu, that one person is going to strike the other person. If you look at the Tos Yom Tov, he says, it could just be even unintentional that everyone has a weapon in their hands and there are so many people that are crowding into a small area that they could shove each other and push each other and harm each other. Or, says the Tos Yom Tov, maybe it's even more nefarious than that, that they're going to get emotional and they're going to start fighting and they're going to start really pushing and really hitting each other, and the emotions will run high, and it's going to cause all sorts of problems in that sense. If you look in the Mishnah Rishonah, he says, I don't understand though, why is it by the Dullus and the Dekel we don't say that we have the same concern? Meaning, we spoke about in the past few Mishnahs about very tall trees, so we said in such cases you do a distribution, right? You don't let everyone just go for it like you would by normal Peah. But we said, if 99 out of 100 want to just go for it like normal Peah, and one wants to do distribution, listen to that one. The implication is, if 100 out of 100 want to just fight for it, we let them fight for it. So ask the Mishnah Rishonah, why? Why would we let them do that? Isn't that dangerous? That just like we don't want them holding weapons when they're vying for the same Peah, we shouldn't want them climbing up to high places when they're vying for the same Peah, because after all, one guy may push the other guy down. So that seems like a very dangerous thing to do, unless you assume that the concern is not that people are going to actually fight with each other. Concern is it will just be too large a crowd. And it's hard to imagine too large a crowd climbing a very high tree. That will probably be only it's not for the faint of heart to climb a high tree. So maybe that would be, they're not as concerned that people will do that. Okay, Mishnah, hey, Shalosh Ibayos Avayos Bayom. There are three times that the farmer, the owner of the field, should appear so that the Aniyim could take the Peah from that field at those times. Bashachar ubachatzos ubamincha, morning, noon, and mincha time. Late in the afternoon, that's when he goes and takes the Peah. Now, what do we mean three times? Three times and no more, or three times and no less? That it just means you can't do any less than three times. He has to appear a minimum of three times. The idea is that a Peah should be available to poor people when things are convenient for them to pick it up. But you can go more times if there are more people that need a more flexible schedule. Whereas Rabbi Akiva Amar Lo, Amar Lo Kadesh Lo Yosifu. No, three times, but no more than three times. But you can do fewer than three times. You just can't do more than three times. According to Rabbi Akiva, what the Chum were concerned about is that they wanted they wanted to avoid people scheduling their own time for a Peah collection, meaning where the farmer is going to decide, oh, I only distribute Peah or allow people to come take Peah between 2 o'clock and 2:15, and then he'll tell a few of his closest friends about that, and they'll come and they'll take the Peah, but all the regular aniyim aren't going to have the opportunity. So that's what Rabbi Akiva says. You can't be mosif on that time. That Peah has to be made available at those specific times, that everybody knows that it's going to be available at those times. So there won't be another time that's going to be hidden from people that Peah is going to be available. So then the Mishnah tells us that there was a certain practice that really streamlined the Peah process. Shaldeis nomer hayu malakdin al hachevel. Instead of just leaving Peah for the whole field at one corner of the field, in Beis Nomer, they would gather all the produce of their fields along with the chevel, the rope, and they would extend from the beginning of each row to the end. V'nosen peyam, we call uman va'uman. And then when they reach the end of the rope, they would leave the rest as peyam from each and every row. So if a row has a whole bunch of, has a whole bunch of rows of grain, and normally you would think the farmer would just harvest all of the different rows fully, and then the last row he'll leave as peyam for poor people to come take. But no, the base number had a different way of doing it. They would take a rope that was, again, peyam is 1/60th. So they would take a rope, let's say, that has 60 measures across the full length of each row, and they would take 59 measures for themselves and leave that 1/60th at the end of each row of peyam. So and that made it more convenient for the aniyim to come and collect the peyam. If you look in the Melecha Shlomo in Mishnah Hay, he says Shalosh Ivayos, these three times a day to collect is Mishum Leketain. They need that for Leket. To call Zman Shein Balabayis Besode, Ein Aniyim Rashoy Likones Lito La Leket. Because as long as the Balabayis is not around, the Aniyim aren't going to be able to come and take the leket. He writes that the aniyim come multiple times, one after the other, and whatever one leaves over, the other one takes. That's not about peya, because in peya, everyone takes it all at one time. So this whole idea of three times a day is not a peya dike inyan, it is a leket inyan. The Mishnah Rishonah makes the same point, that the Rush writes that it's kashal ol lefarish shemalakdin shalosh pam peya. Hard to imagine that taking peya three times. Shrei minich b'sof sada pamachas banim mislakdin akol ela echad mizmanim alalu kamer. But the Rush gives a different answer. He says that it's not that it's talking about lekat; it is talking about peya, but it's saying one of these three times is designated for peya collection, not that it's all of these three times that are designated for peya collection. So we said that they would leave mikol uman v'uman, from each end of a row they would leave 1/60th. Says the Tosos Yom Tov, Upirish Rabbeinu Zal Begor Aryeh Parshas Devarim. My Rebbe, says the Tosos Yom Tov, in his Sefer Gor Aryeh in Parshas Devarim explains, who was the Tosos Yom Tov's Rebbe? Tosos Yom Tov was a Talmud of the Maral Miprag. So when he quotes my Rebbe in the Gor Aryeh, that's the Maral Miprag's Gor Aryeh. I once heard Rabbi Dr. Shneur Lyman talk about the Maral's golem, and whether in fact the Maral created a golem, and the overwhelming evidence that the Maral, or at least the overwhelming evidence that there was no evidence that the Maral created a golem at any point. And Dr. Lyman concluded his remarks with such a beautiful comment. He said that whether or not, he said two things. First of all, the question was never whether or not the Maral could have created a golem. The question is whether he in fact created a golem. He was a very holy man, he probably could have. The question is whether he did. And the second point, and this is why it's relevant over here, he said, is that whether the Maral created a golem, that never would have been his greatest accomplishment anyway. Because you know what the Maral did create? He created a Tosis Yom Tov. That he had a Talmud like the Tosis Yom Tov that he formed and that he developed and that he taught, that's the greatest creation that he could have had. So anyway, so the Tosis Yom Tov quotes from the Maral, Lefi Shahashura Meshucha B'Shava V'Zeum Nesnekris Uman, that since each row was so evenly aligned, that's why it's called, that's an umnus, that's like an expertise to set it up in such a way, and that's why it's called an uman. So that's what he writes. So Yom Tov goes on to say, and what's the advantage of doing this? He says the advantage is that the aniyim don't have to wait till the guy finishes harvesting the whole field. As he harvests each row, they could take the last little bit of each row, and that's the advantage to the aniyim. Okay, so what we learned today was Mishnayos Dalet and Hey. In Mishnah Dalet, we learned that you shouldn't give the aniyim weapons or things that could be used as weapons to pick the peya, because it could get contentious and they could hurt each other. And in Mishnah Hey, we said that the balabais, the balasada, has to make himself available three times a day, morning, noon, and late afternoon, in order to to let people pick paya at those known times, but it's machlokas tanaim whether it means that he's not allowed to do more than that or that he's not allowed to do less than that. Either way, we paskin, the Bar Tanura points out, we paskin, we do exactly three, no more and no less. So we satisfy all opinions, and we said that the Beis Namer had this beautiful practice where they would leave 1/60th at the end of each row instead of just leaving at the end of the field. Okay, Baruch Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Mishnah Vav.